Just want to let you guys know that it's such an honor and privilege to speak to you guys tonight. Such an honor and privilege to share the word of God and to share what I feel like God has put on my heart. For what God has put on my heart for Emmanuel Church, for the families of Emmanuel Church, for my family. I'll be quite honest, the process to get to tonight's sermon was a pretty tough process for me personally. But I love that the Lord took that process and helped by me studying the word, by me meditating on the word to help bring me out. And I feel like that would, and I pray that that would happen tonight too as well. So the title for tonight's message is, well, it was, God is Strategic, because I love actually strategic thinking. I love administration. I love planning. I love vision. But then I ultimately came to God has a plan. And we're going to read out of Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16, and that will be our home base tonight. Because I truly believe that no matter what you're going through, what I'm going through, no matter where you're at, I feel like tonight God has a word for you of encouragement and a word of faith, a word to persevere, and a word to remember who he is and what he's done for you. Why I think he's strategic is because all throughout scripture and even Jesus, and we'll get to this later, but God came with a plan and a purpose. He didn't just come and he figured it out while he got here. And I feel like us as Emmanuel, us as a family, you and your family, you have to have a plan with the Lord. You can't just walk and expect things to happen. You need to be in the word, in prayer, under the anointing, full of the Holy Spirit, full of his presence. Amen? All right, let's read Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16. And some of the youth might remember this passage. Well, we did it a couple months ago, but it just resonated tonight with me. So let's read together. I'll read out of the ESV for those out there. Okay. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek. While Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. Interesting, right? But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called it the name, "The Lord is my banner," saying, "A hand upon the throne of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Amen." Beautiful passage. A lot of you guys might remember this story. And Luciana actually touched on this a few weeks back. The Lord is my banner. He's the victor. He's the victory. And as I was reading this, I just was reminded again and again that God has a plan. God has a way. And God is for you. We are his sons and his daughters. We have been grafted into the kingdom. We've been grafted into the family. And I just, you know, if you're here tonight and you're in a rut and you're here tonight and you're in a place where you can't find your way out, I challenge you to put your trust in Jesus. I challenge you to put your faith and hope in Jesus, because he has a way. He's the way maker, like we're just saying. He's strategic. He has a plan for us. And how many of you guys know that the reality of life isn't always the victory? It's the process to the victory. You know? I love it when, Christians always talk about the victories, but they don't tell you, like, you know, it was actually a hard week. Because we like to show off. We like to show up. We like to And sometimes in a good way, we like to tell everyone how good God was to us. But the beauty of the brotherhood and the family is that we go through ups and downs together. You know, when you're down, I'm up, and I'll help you. And with the faith that I have that you might not have, I'll pray with you. I'll come alongside you, and we'll journey through it together. When I'm down, you're up. We work together through it. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. And in the family, the same thing happens. If the husband is up or down, and the wife can support the husband or the wife, like, that's the beauty of the relationship. And even the kids, at certain points, they bring a joy in the relationship in the family that they can help lift up your eyes. Because how many of you guys know the battle, the biggest battle, is in your mind? This is why there is depression. This is why there is anxiety. This is why there is confusion. The battle is in the mind. And the Lord is showing us here that there is a way and there is a plan. And he's so strategic. Because no matter what season you're going through, just so you know, he chose the season you're going through right now. So just let that kind of reflect on your mind too. You're not alone in this battle. You're not alone in this war. God has provision. God has a word. God has a way. The word is in his Bible. He's got the Holy Spirit that he's entrusted to you. It's so beautiful that the Holy Spirit enlightens us, comforts us in these kind of moments. And through him, we could weather any storm. Through him, we literally can walk through the storm and not just come out defeated, but we can come out saying, I weathered through that storm with you, Lord. You made me stronger for the next storm. Because it's not always rainbows and butterflies. There will be storms. Hello. We're going through storms constantly, but God has a way, God has a plan. And here in this passage, he's actually outlined for Moses, a man who's after the presence of God, a man who knows the presence of God, the tangible presence of God, not just the theory of the presence of God. There's a secret right there. And you see Joshua there, he's learning from a father. So I'm so thankful that today's Father's Day, because as I was reading this too, I just thought, man, how amazing Moses was as a leader, strategic leader, but as a father, because he was able to lead his people spiritually, not just with a staff, but he was able to make decisions with multiple ideas going on, with multiple problems going on, because he was in the weighty presence of God. And that's actually a key for us. Us knowing God's plan requires us to be in his presence, to be in the word, in prayer, in worship, moments like tonight, moments not as good as tonight. Doesn't matter. He is faithful, so we say yes to you, Jesus. And, you know, some of you guys might be going through some trials and you're thinking, I just want to give up. And I want to encourage you that God is looking not just for faith, but work. Fight the fight, Emmanuel. Fight the fight. Where you're at in your life right now, fight the fight. The Holy Spirit can comfort you, empower you. Jesus has already won the cross. Death is defeated. Remind yourself with truth over and over again that even though the battle is in the mind, sometimes the battle is in the heart, Jesus is king on the throne. He's interceding on our behalf. And he is the victor because he is trustworthy. Why can I have faith in God? Because he is trustworthy. You know, maybe people around you aren't as trustworthy. Maybe even family sometimes might hurt each other. Hey guys, the Lord is trustworthy. When we take our eyes off the Lord and we look to each other, when we look for situations to get us up and down, then we become up and down. We go like this. Our life becomes a roller coaster life. And more than ever, I mean, I was just talking to we had lunch for Father's Day today. I was just talking how simple times were 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And it seems to be only getting more complicated. But he is trustworthy. Don't you know that he's had this planned out from the beginning, and he's chosen me and you to be alive here and now in this place, in this house for a season, for such a time as this. It's not just a cool idea, a good story. It's reality. He is trustworthy, and I, for one, want to put my trust in him. And he honors our diligence. He honors the work. If we put our faith in him and we also do the work, those who are diligent with the work, be it ministry, being raising a solid family, being raising a solid God-fearing family, when you are diligent, he comes through. He comes through every single time. Every single time. That is his promise to us. And that's what's interesting here. They actually have to fight this people, and I love that Moses already knows and tells Joshua what to do. But I'll tell you what, if Pastor Gogo Durin right now said to me, hey, gather a bunch of young people and go fight that battle, I'm just going to go on a mountain and I'm just going to lift my hands, I would question, you know, man, I have to go and sacrifice my life. Like, listen to here, this is life or death here in this situation, right? They either are they win or they die. And here's this interesting perspective. The leader, who's supposed to be, you know, we're all following the leader. He goes, hey, I'm gonna see that mountain right there? Yeah, that far away from where you're at? I'm going to go there. And my only job is to lift my hands. But you go fight all night. That took so much trust and faith in leadership. And we want that. We go for that. We are hungry for that. Amen. And we have that. And by faith, you guys, like as we trust and as we move forward, God will give us victory with that kind of attitude. And I love that Moses heard from the Lord. He didn't just say, let me go consult my counsel. Let me go talk to the wisest guys. He heard from God. We need leadership that hears from God. Amen. We are praying for leadership that hears from God. We're praying for fathers in the house that hear from God. We're praying for mothers in the house that hear from God. That is the best way moving forward. Reading the word and hearing from God, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you through the circumstances so you could, through God's way, God's plan, have a strategic way to find hope for your family. And in that instance, I just keep thinking more about the strategic ways of God. Moses didn't just go up alone, because Moses was pretty old by this time. You guys know this. And if I were to, we actually did this at youth one time. I had Noah Trufash hold up his hands the whole time during the sermon. Just, he volunteered, so it wasn't forced. Just so you know. And by the end of it, he's like, I couldn't feel my hand. And that was, what, 25 minutes, you know? Yeah. And so imagine now a whole night where Moses at his age has to keep his hands up. I love that he doesn't have to keep one hand up and then alternate. Both hands, full in, fully surrendered, because without God, I can't do this. And he had a staff and he had a strategic plan. I'm going to take my brothers, Aaron and her, I'm going to take them with me and they're going to sustain me, help me. See, we can't just go about life alone. Here's a thing. When you're down, when you're depressed, when you're going through anxiety, when you're going through circumstances where you don't know what to do, the enemy will tell you to do it alone. But God is saying the strategic way is do it with your family, do it with your church, do it with your brothers who you can trust. Because there are moments when you can't hold your hands up anymore, where your faith and your surrender to God will be complicated, because in your mind there's a storm happening. And every time you're in the middle of the storm, it seems more and more chaotic. But to have a brother or sister next to you to help guide you makes all the difference. Amen? And what's amazing is that there's victory. I think about this story often and I go, I wonder how many battles Joshua has been in. You know, there's a few, there's this recorded, and I'm sure there was plenty more, because they were on a 40-year journey. And I mean, unfortunately, they had to go 40 years, because I've read certain places that it could have just taken them 30 days, right? It's like, if you guys would just obey the Lord, you guys could have been in the promised land and been happy, but that's not always life. Because we're human, because we're flawed, because we keep getting tempted by this nature of sin, even though we're new creations, it's always so tempting. The enemy's always trying to stir us away, get us away from the path. 40 years, oh my goodness. This church has been around for 30 years. Imagine 10 more years of just like, oh, I don't know. Even though we've had like so many good moments and memories, like I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord that tonight, like ASAP, right now, Jesus, we surrender everything. We want your full reward. We want the promise right now. God, we want to be wholly dedicated to you, God, not because we want the glamour, not because we want the glory, but because we want Jesus. Because I think about God and I think about what would give Father God the most joy when his children would be around his feet. Emmanuel Church, let's surround ourselves by the feet of Jesus, by the feet of the Father. Let's be totally dedicated to the one who had a plan, who's strategic, and who gave his son for you and for me, who planned that the Holy Spirit would come and fill us so we could live an empowered life and not just, well, that storm passed, the next one's coming. Ugh. Because that's not a faith-filled life. The reality is that these things will come, but a faith-filled life says, I'm trusting the one who defeated death, and I'm trusting him above all else. Amen? And I just want to encourage you, too, this is not just an optimistic thing. Sometimes it's easy just to say, wow, he's just really encouraging me right now. This is not optimism. This is what we're called to do. We're called to live by faith, walk by faith, trust in the Lord. Let the word of God be a lamp unto our feet so it can illuminate us and not just keep us in darkness, right? And I just want to encourage you as well. There is testing, but in James 1, verses 2 through 4, like we hear that and we read that the testing of our faith that we should count it as joy. You know, like this could be a good moment to just look at your life and say, man, through that trial that I went through, Holy Spirit God, was I responding in joy or was I responding in frustration or grumpiness? Or was I unfaithful? Or because all of a sudden I allowed sin to come in my life because there's an opportunity that you didn't come through, God, so I lied that one time or I did this thing that one time. Or are we counting it as a joy that we could see things the way God sees things, see things the way through Jesus' perspective and not through our flesh? You know, we were reading the Beatitudes in the youth ministry, and Jesus is not so much worried about the sin, but he's also concerned about the way you process how you get to the sin or how you avoid the sin. You know, when he's talking about lust, for example, he's telling you that even if you lusted in your heart, you've already committed that. So he's looking beyond just the acts and the physical things that we might think about. He's looking for a mind shift. He's looking for a mentality shift. He's looking for a new perspective. And when he talks about that you are new creation and you have the renewal of the mind through the word and through the spirit, that's a real life thing. And so as we continue moving forward, like, and as Joshua, who I'm sure by 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. was going, what is he doing up there? Why is it not always working? Because he would sometimes drop his hands and then they would start winning. Count it as a joy as you go into battle, as you go into this process that God is faithful to come through. And I like that teamwork mentality is applied there. I don't know where you're at in your family. I don't know where you're at in church. But I'll tell you what, without trust, without teamwork, without an openness, without vulnerability, and I'm not talking about transparency. Transparency means I just vomited all my stuff in front of you. Vulnerability means here's my problem, speak into my life. I give you permission to encourage me, to help me. I give you permission with my heart right now because if I'm going through a problem, I want to be able to trust that you're a brother. Amen? a sister, a husband, a wife. Your kids, your sons, the children of this church need that kind of parenting, need that kind of leadership where they can trust. Because my flesh says, I don't want to go fight that battle while someone goes and sits on a mountain. But my trust in the Lord and then my trust in my fellow brother and sister says, we're going to war together. I need the covering. I need the intercession. You know, some interpretations and some commentaries kind of say that Moses was up on the mountain praying and worshiping God in full surrender, and he wasn't wasting time. He was interceding for Joshua. Our prayer warriors, our pastors, our leaders, as they cover us, as they lead us, as they pray for us, these ministries are so valuable in the body of Christ. He has a strategic plan with organizing prayer people, intercessors, pastors, teachers, all of it coming together to lead us to a place of understanding that where I might be weak, you're strong, and that's how we fulfill the kingdom of God, the body of Jesus. Because when we're functioning in a healthy place like that, this church can easily welcome in more people. But when we're arguing, fighting, bickering, it's going to be hard. Because you can feel it. You know, we're humans, guys. We can feel things, you know. I know when someone's upset, I know that someone knows when I'm upset. I could try to put a smile on if that's transparency of fakeness. That's not vulnerability. How much better is it, though, when we see each other in a rut or in a place and we go, hey, can I pray for you, brother? Can I be with you? Can I help you through this moment? What does your family need? Do you need prayer? Do you need finances? Do you need, can we be the hands and feet of Jesus, not just by words and just casually say, oh yeah, I'll pray for you, and then you forget all about it. With teamwork and vulnerability. And I love that David in Psalm 37 says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. He actually says, I've been young and now am old. So I don't know where I stand in that. I'm kind of young. I'll say I'm more young, but I'm kind of getting some experience in life, and I'm already realizing Jesus, Father God, does not forsake his children. And I declare that over my life and your lives as well, because that's the word of God right there. He doesn't forsake us. If we stay holy, pure, righteous, if we go to his throne, if we go before him in the word, if we pray, if we stay close to him, he will not forsake you. Or his children, it says they didn't even beg for bread. I love that. God is faithful to help. And I'll skip over to verses 14 through 15. There is a strategy for a future. And I declare that over this church, that there is a strategic plan over this future. There's a strategic plan over your family. You might see your kids, and some of them are not even at church. Some of them are not in the house of God. There is a strategic plan for your kids. There is a strategic plan for your spouse. There is a strategic plan for your family and for this church. God is faithful. Here's the cool part, verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua. You know, when I read that, I think, why? And the answer comes out to, why would the Lord ask for a written word of a memory? I'm sure if I went through a whole night's battle with an army, I would come out saying, I will never forget that. I think a lot of us would be super humble to say that. But the Lord has a plan and tells Moses to write it in a book. Here's how I interpret that one for us. The act of remembrance or a testimony is powerful in the kingdom of God. Why does he say, take this bread and take this wine and remember me? Why do we do that every month? It keeps us centered. We have to be in a place of continual sweet brokenness to remember what Jesus has accomplished on the cross for us. We can't get so heady and so full of knowledge that we forget the one who's in the room. It's like going to a party, and we Romanians love to go hang out and have a lot of dinners and things like that. It's like going to someone's house but never saying hi to the person who invited you to the house. Never even remembering to say, hey, thank you so much. Communion brings us to that place of continual reminder, I got to set my heart before God right. I got to apologize to my brother and my sister. I got to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. And he has a strategic plan. You see it in the Old Testament, and then you see it the way Jesus executed that. Why was it important for Moses to repeat it in Joshua's ear? Here's another thing. You can write a testimony down and still forget about it. May we be a church that reminds ourselves of what God has done. May you be a family that reminds yourself of what God has done in your family. Instead of saying, well, he ran off again. Well, he did this again. No, God came through last time. He's going to come through again. The storm is back, but we're going to fight it again as a family, as a unit, as a church, as a body. The more we weather the storm, the more we get courage and faith to weather the next one. And so the strategic thing is reciting it in the ears of your children, in the ears of your spouse, before the church. You know, we have the list of prayers, and we often talk about we'd love to see that list diminish, and we'd love to see a testimony list come up. Because the more you just see what the enemy's doing, you get consumed by it. But the more you see what God is doing, you build faith, you build trust, and then you can move forward. And so there's power in the testimony. And I just want to tell you this too, like God, it matters more to God what he does in me and in you more than it matters to him what you do through him. Because if you're not full of the Holy Spirit, if you're not full of God, full of faith and hope, it won't matter what you do because it's all just noise. You can even prophesy, you can heal people, all that stuff. The whole goal of this strategically is to remind yourself of what God has done and where he is at and what he's speaking to you, giving you the plan, reminding you that he gave you victory over that one thing. He gave us victory many years ago through this church multiple times. May we not forget where we've gone so we know where we can go. Because the question then comes up, what's happening now? Because that's always the hot thing. What's happening now? Where are we at now? And if we think about it too, it's really cool. The entire world went through a global pandemic. This has never happened at this degree in the history of the world because media and flights and everything like that has brought everything to a globalized manner. So we've never gone through a catastrophe at this level as a whole people group on earth. Don't you see what God is doing? He's even though it's a tragic thing what the enemy is doing, God is using it to bring everyone to a halt. God is using it to speak loudly. May his church have ears to hear and eyes to see. And may the world be desperate for a savior in this time. But what a time that we can have a global shutdown and everyone's eyes and ears are fixed now on this one word, COVID. It's insane in a way because that has never occurred. And then even in that way, we trust that God is strategic. I mean, we've heard it so many times through the pulpit too here at this church that we're living in the end times and we have to be prepared, right? And we're seeing it now more than ever, but a lot of people are getting frustrated, anxiety, stressed, depressed because they're going through a tough time. But the interesting thing is the word has prepared us. The sermons at this church have prepared us for times like these. And it hasn't prepared us to condemn our brothers and sisters, but has prepared us to cover them and pray for them, to intercede on their behalf. Because you don't know what they're going through, but what you can do is be a light. You can be a brother. You can be an Aaron and a Hur to lift up their hands in a time like that. And here's the cool part for me. The reason I believe that God orchestrated Moses to tell Joshua the testimony of that moment, not just to write it down, which we have it now, but to remind him constantly of the victory. You guys know later that there are a few spies that go to see the promised land, right? Well, guess who's one of the ones that knows that the promised land is for them. One that has the reminder of what God has done in his life. One that has seen God work, but one who has a leader who reminds him, this is what you're called to. This is what I have planned for this church. This is what I have planned for your family. This is what we declare over the family of Emmanuel Church. If you want to see your kids be healthy, if you want to see your kids in the promised land, speak the things of God over them. Remind them the things of God. Leaders, if we want to see this church grow, focus on what God is doing and not what he's not doing. What is the Lord up to? What is he up to? It's so beautiful that we can have that interaction together, because when you remind me of what God's doing, I remember what he did in my life, and we encourage each other this way. And then when the opportunity comes, because we're listening to God's voice, we know what the plan is. And they all came in one accord, says in Acts. How do they come in one accord? Because it seems like there's 50,000 denominations happening. And I don't know, but I feel like in the future, it's only going to get worse, because I feel like in the churches, all of them, not even just the Romanian ones, more and more as we move forward because of the way things are going, every church will have their own little sect or denomination. It's going to be so interesting seeing what the future has, because everyone now is nitpicking the tiniest things instead of figuring out what God has for us. We're not uniting on the things that God has brought up before us. We're trying to figure out what's wrong with us. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? Let's divide. But God is saying, unite, be in one accord, stay focused on me. You have the same Holy Spirit. You can be in one accord. In your family, you can be in one accord. If you're arguing or fighting with your spouse, or if you're having issues or marital issues, you can be in one accord yet again. Remind yourselves of what God has done in your family. Remind yourselves of what God has done to bring you to that place. Remember even the day of the covenant when you said yes to your spouse. This is a memory that it's a testimony that we also constantly need to remind ourselves of. Amen? All that from this passage. It's so beautiful. The Word of God is so deep and wide. And I want to leave you with a thought. You might be going through a cycle. You might be going through a tough time. I want to remind you of a person in the Bible that went through a major, major cycle. And he represents a lot of us in a lot of ways, especially because we're more Romanian and more passionate. And we act super tough until it's time to face it. I'm going to talk about Peter for a second. You guys remember Peter in Matthew 14? He walks on water. He's the only disciple that walks on water. What a cool disciple. What a brilliant guy to say, I'm going to trust God and take a step. He was full of zeal, full of passion. He was brave. The synonyms go on and on. Some of you guys like synonyms. He had all of that. And that reminds me of us. It could even be Emmanuel. It could be me. It could be you. When we first fell in love with Jesus. Do you guys remember that? Put yourself back in that moment. When you had the zeal, bravery, passion, you could walk on water. Tell me where, I'll walk. And then Peter, later in John 21, denies Jesus 3 times. That same zeal and passion denies Jesus 3 times. And I don't want to declare this, but I know I find myself a lot of times in this place, and I'm sure a lot of you find yourself in this place. I let you down, God, yet again. I let my spouse down yet again. I let my kids down yet again. I let the church down yet again. I let Jesus down. I let my kids down. X, Y, and Z. You see how the cycle continues, and we get stuck in our head because we want to. We're designed in such a way that we want to please the Father. When we said yes to the Father, we're designed in a way that we want to please the Father. And when we don't, we run with shame. Like Pastor preached this morning, the prodigal son, right? We run in shame. And here, Peter is a perfect example of what to do. And in John 21, he has breakfast. So I want to tell you, don't get stuck at breakfast. There's lunch and dinner. Because Jesus shows up. Here's the beauty. Jesus shows up. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. in your times of despair, in your times of storms in your mind, I can only imagine the man who declared Jesus the Son of God, now what he's feeling, having breakfast, denying him three times. It's not a story, it's real life. And we're all going through it in our own way. The amount of self-persecution, the amount of self-doubt, the amount of, Jesus even called him the rock at one point. He gave him such a high title, and now that rock is utterly shattered. But Jesus. He comes and he goes, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Why? He's reminding you to not look inward to find your faith, but to look to him. Do you love me, Jesus says. Are you looking to me or are you looking to you? And then he says, feed my sheep. Do what I've called you to do. Don't stop doing what I've called you to do. Don't stop doing. If you're called to preach the word of God, preach the word of God. Remind yourself that you love Jesus if your mind can't wrap itself around that. He's calling you now because that's what it is. Jesus meets us. Jesus restores us. And then he empowers us. Coco, can I invite you to the piano? No matter where you're at right now, now we would find some truth in this passage that Moses was a man after God's presence. It even says later that, I mean, God was so frustrated at a certain point, but he said, I'm not going anywhere without your presence, God. He even offered them the one thing that they desired. Many people desire things of this world. Some people desire holy things, the promised land. Some people desire revivals. Some people desire, be it whatever it is, spiritual gifts. But guys, without the presence of God, without his voice, without the word of God, without us being centralized in who Jesus is, it won't matter. And tonight we had an opportunity to go before God in worship, and he met us. He met us. It even reminded me of me being like 18 or 19 sitting. We all used to sit, all the youth would always sit on that side. And just being utterly rocked by the presence of God. And I remind myself of those moments all the time. When things get tough, God, you came through. When I was down, you came through. When I was questioning my faith, you came through. When I was going through a hard time, you came through. If you're going through depression, he's going to come through. You have to put your trust in him. If you're going through anxiety, if you don't know what's coming next month, you put your faith in him. Not because it's like a blank check, but it's because he's the one who guides you through it. He's strategic in every single way. If all you do is get on your knees and pray, that's the most amazing place to be. If all you do is stay in the presence of God, that's the most amazing place to be. Because in Isaiah 55 and even later, but in Matthew 24, so shall my word that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing which I have sent. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. He's the God of trustworthiness, faithfulness. In Isaiah 43:19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Sometimes we don't perceive because we're so stuck in our ways. But God is wanting to do a new thing, even here, even now, even in this place amongst you right now, amongst our church. Not a new thing as far as the way it looks or sounds. I'm not talking about that. The new thing is being full of Jesus, full of God. Because we stray, but he comes after us. He goes after the one. He leaves the 91 and goes after the one. He's going to go after the one through faith. Come on, guys. After the one to fill every single seat. Not for the sake of us having a big name, but because we want the bride of Christ to be a glorious bride upon his coming. Because he is coming. The Bible does talk about a remnant, but it doesn't talk about how big the remnant was. Don't get stuck in the idea that the remnant is five people. Have faith that the remnant can be full in this room, double, triple, more. He wants a glorious bride. Amen. I invite you all to stand. We have some time, so I'm going to cut it there, but I hope that that landed and that made some sense, but I figured we'd just go into a time of response to the Lord. Tonight, Jesus, you showed up. We felt your presence. We trust your word that you are with us. And God, may you remind us that there's no other place we should be in than in your presence, in your word, full of faith and full of trust in the one who is trustworthy. God, that we would be children who look to their father in times of need and not run away. Throughout this room, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would awaken in us a mindset, a shift, a renewal of the mind, like your word talks about, to remind ourselves. Holy Spirit, remind us of the testimonies of the things you have done, of where you've taken us and where you will take us, God. So when the promised land shows up, be it X, Y, and Z, we are aware of what is in front of us. We don't take 40 years, but we know exactly what your plan is for us. Amen? Let's just worship a little bit, man.